Film Twits. Ding.
I watched Child's Play when it first came out on VHS.
I believe you.
I was like 5 years old.
Did
it
you
was
know?
Terrifying.
Did you know there's a remake coming out this year of that?
I don't care. Yeah, there's a remake of everything terrible. Because nobody can think of an original.
Luke Skywalker
idea
is going to be Chucky. He'll be voicing him.
I don't
so
know.
So that's interesting.
It looks weird.
Yeah, it does. Probably not one I'll see, to be quite honest. Are we recording?
Yeah, but...
Oh, okay. But you
we
can
haven't
cut
done
out
the intro forever. Or anything yet.
No, we haven't. And here's a person.
Oh, hey, person.
Mm-mm.
Oh, that's not a person.
It's a doggy.
A
well, some people think
someone
dogs
didn't
are people.
Latch my door.
What is going on,
hey,
puppy?
Aw, she bye, wants to love on Dave.
Ready?
Okay. No, I think we need 20 more minutes of filler.
Just complete wasting time by talking about absolute nonsense.
So I
your hair looks wonderful today, Brandon.
Thanks, I was wearing a hat.
See, every time I wear a hat, I look like I've been I look exactly like Caleb does right now. I look like I've been dragged through a hedge backwards and then sat on by a sweaty elephant.
This does not look good. What are you talking about?
I don't know. For a hat hair, that's
Dave's got weird
that's pretty hot.
Interest, Brandon.
Oh.
Oh, hello. Wow. That was not good.
People are going to want to know what we look like. They're going to be like, oh my goodness, those three guys sound amazing. I wonder what they look like. I bet Brandon's
you know
like
what?
6'4".
I take it all back. We should all just have avatars.
Star Wars.
War stars. What the heck was that?
That was the new Star Wars creature coming this December.
That was a gift from Caleb, who is usually spot on with his impressions, but so far today...
Shoddy I am.
Shoddy, yes, I would say that's a good example.
I liked it.
Well, as long as you liked it, that's all that matters.
Good impression.
And no, lost it again.
Forget you, Dave.
Yes, yes.
I thought we had just started. We were doing Star Wars noises.
Oh, was that the start?
No, well, we haven't had an intro yet. We're just making noise for the sake of it.
My Star Wars song was the intro.
Oh, are you going to do a Star Wars song?
Star Wars! Nothing but Star Wars!
We want some Star Wars!
For the film twits! Ba-dum!
Yeah, see? Beautiful.
That was amazing. That's almost as if
I really loved that.
Yeah, that was great.
All right, Brandon, let's start the show.
Okay.
Tell us about your hair.
Oh, hey, so... welcome to the show.
That's definitely staying in.
Yes, so we are the Film Twits. This is the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Caleb. Dave.
That's me.
No. Bad ordering. You weren't ready for that one, were you?
And me.
Who's me?
I am.
Smee's me.
But who are you?
I just watched that on Saturday.
No, Hook is a terrible movie.
What?
That's awful.
Get out.
Oh my goodness.
Hook is one of my...
What's he say? Like, bam, bam. Oh.
Do we have to change our whole subject now?
I think...
Okay, I'm not as like in... It like as much as Brandon, but I do genuinely like Hook.
All right, I will. Okay, so before we get
nostalgia
into our topic of the episode, yeah, Hook was, and I forgot, I didn't realize how big of a movie it was. I forgot how
we were talking about 1991's Hook, directed by Steven Spielberg. For those that are unaware,
Robin Williams.
I got hooky.
Oh my gosh!
And then he gets stuck.
No, I won't say the best. It's one of my favorite movies, and we watched it on Saturday. I've been wanting to watch it with the kids, and you can't find it streaming for free anywhere, and so I continue to not watch it with the kids because I'm a cheapskate.
That's why I own it.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Well, I looked it up on Saturday. We needed a movie night, and it's on Amazon, and I said, you know, it's worth
time.
$4 to rent it. So we did, and I had one of my favorite movie nights ever.
What did your kids think?
They loved it. Because my kids are smart just like me.
Yeah, unlike Dave.
We can do it in another episode, but I could take up a whole episode explaining why this movie is so great.
You know, I will say, Dave, I do agree with you. The movie is very, very silly.
It's a little silly.
But it's a kid's movie, and it's enjoyable and fun, and it has that sense of child wonderment to it.
Yeah, exactly. If you look at it as a follow-up to Peter Pan, and it's even shot in a way that kind of makes you think of a stage play.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah,
don't
I see what you mean.
Make that smirk at me.
Dave
Stop
is like
in
looking so devious at us. He's trying not to guffaw, as he would say right now.
Guffaw.
Yeah.
More
such a great
but
word.
Anyway, you should rewatch it.
All right. So let's
so
get
that
into
was so that was my weekend.
This episode.
That was a bad
Let's talk about
pressure.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's what we're here to talk about tonight.
Oh, well,
Star
before
Wars.
We jump in that, I just want to just two minutes.
Okay. Two
so
minutes.
For the viewers, I went and saw Godzilla over the weekend. And while I thought that the film overall it definitely brought the spectacle. The monster fights were some of the best monster, quote unquote, fights that, you know, have ever been put to cinema, in my opinion, so far. But there was a lot of bad issues with the writing, a lot of stuff that just didn't make sense. I would say if you go to see Godzilla, King of the Monsters, you should definitely see it on a big screen, but you should only see it once. I think good enough. You get what you want out of the monster fights. And then, you know, when it's on home release, you know, if you want to buy it, that's fine. But you could probably just go to YouTube and watch the fights and be satiated.
It's very interesting how you can have movies that are watch once. It's like, it was okay. Like, if it comes on TV, you can watch it, it'll be okay. Or it could be a movie that's like, this was an epic movie, but it's so tiring to watch, you're probably only going to want to watch it once.
Yeah.
Toy Story.
Dark Knight Rises.
I was thinking more like Requiem for a Dream.
Oh, yeah.
Or, well, I've never seen it.
Or Dunkirk. You know, these are both amazing movies, but they take a lot out of you to watch it.
I think we brought up that point in our first episode. Christopher Nolan's movies are like that in general.
Right.
Not that they're bad, and I have gone back and rewatched them.
They're heavy.
They just take a lot out of you. Yeah. So.
Because
you've
got to
take a nap after.
Anyway, that's my two cents on Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Hey, speaking of Godzilla.
Gojirot.
Okay.
Speaking of Godzilla. Oh, what did you think about the Matthew Broderick cameo?
he wasn't in it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. He was trying to set you up for a little joke there.
Were you going to pretend to be Matthew Broderick?
Let's hear your best Matthew Broderick impression, Brandon.
What does he even sound like?
I don't know.
He sounds really nasally.
I know what his teacher sounds like.
Bueller. That was terrible.
Mr. Bueller.
All right, what were you going to say,
Ben? Yeah,
speaking
say,
of Bueller. No, okay. It was speaking of Godzilla.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
very,
yeah.
That's
those...
seamless segue.
Yeah, really.
Oh,
yeah.
Speaking of which.
Yeah, what's up?
We're speaking of so many things. Speaking of segues.
So many segues.
I was thinking.
Segueception.
We should definitely put this out as episode 4 because it's our first Star Wars episode, and Star Wars started as episode 4.
Wow, Brandon.
That actually elicited a genuine gasp from me then.
Yes,
that's
I got
genius.
One.
Genius.
That's pretty good, actually.
Agreed.
Pretty good.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 4 of The Film Twits. A new hope for podcasts.
Which we... Oh!
That was just then.
Nice.
I just now came
Goodness.
Up with that.
Good
this is
pull,
completely
man.
Unscripted, and Brandon is on fire.
We do not have a script due to popular belief that we do.
Yeah, nobody who is ever going to listen to our podcast is ever going to think we have a script. We very rarely have a topic. Let alone
completely off the cuff, as Dave would say.
I would.
Mm-hmm.
I would.
All right, Brandon. So let's do this.
All
host
right.
away, Brandon.
So, well, I'm still confused about what
do
we're talking
hosting.
About because some of us are talking about our favorite moments in Star Wars. Dave is not.
Okay,
so right. I'm trying to think which
should we let Dave start?
I think I want Dave to start.
Yeah, I think we should let Dave start.
All right, I will start by defending myself. Okay. When we were discussing this, Brandon immediately jumped onto my favorite of the entire franchise, my favorite aspect and part of the movie.
I could have picked a different
one. And so, well, no, you already picked dibs. You turned around, you touched the ground, and you were first. So instead, we got into a little disagreement, minor disagreement, when I said,
"Did we?"
You said, "Have you figured out what your favorite part is yet?" And I said, "No, there's three whole movies I've got to choose from." And you tried to correct me and saying, "No, there's lots." And I said, "No, there's three movies to choose from." So what I'm talking about, rather than my favorite thing, is my favorite reasons why the original trilogy are better than the new ones.
Okay.
And I have limited myself. I had like 50 bullet points. Oh, wow. But I've limited myself to 7 points.
Now, are you... Okay. I thought it was 5.
I limited myself...
You've only got an hour.
To 7.
I limited myself to 7 with like 6 sub-points.
Now, are you including the spin-offs, Rogue One and Solo? Or are you only talking about the episodes?
I'm talking in general.
He's talking about Disney Star Wars versus the original trilogy.
So yes. I don't know. We talked about this a lot. I saw Solo way late in the game. It was last week that I saw Solo.
Were you the only one in the theater?
I didn't see it in the theater because it wasn't in the theater last week.
Oh man, did you watch it by yourself?
No, I didn't. I watched it. I watched it with my family.
I tried twice to make a Solo joke. It didn't work.
I know.
Continue. Just talk.
Good job. I got it.
Out of the three of us, I'm the only one who saw it late. I'm kind of flying solo there. Ba-dum-dum.
Oh, because it's called Solo.
Wow. Seamless jokes.
Sometimes it takes us a couple of
minutes. Really, really, really like the movie. A lot. A lot. So, anyway. New versus old. And I'm not old either. I mean, I want to say Return of the Jedi came out, what, 81?
83.
83? Mm-hmm. So it came out 2 years after I was born.
There you go.
So I'm not old school because, you know, always the best way and nothing good's ever been made in the last 200 years. I just think they're awesome movies. Okay, point number one. Good versus evil.
Okay.
The original trilogy put black and white, good versus evil, better than all of the other movies. From the opening credits, you know who the bad guys are and who the good guys are. Even with like Han Solo, who's the roguish character, you know he's a good guy because he keeps doing the right thing over and over again, regardless of his protestations. There is arguably no better bad guy in cinema history than Darth Vader. And you know he's a bad guy. It's only in the last movie, The Return of the Jedi, that you get some inkling that he could actually change. Even though you get that wow moment in The Empire Strikes Back about the familial tie, the Skywalker tie. It's black and white. The only grayest area is Lando Calrissian as to whether he's a good guy or a bad guy. But I would argue that Lando Calrissian makes his decision to betray the good guys because he's doing what's best for the citizens of Sky City. Or Cloud City.
Cloud City.
So he's actually trying to do something good even in that. None of the other movies, okay, the prequel movies, you have to take as part of a long-standing story. You cannot assume that everybody's seen the original three and they go back in time and watch them. You have to start the story at episode one. And it's not black and white who the bad guys and the good guys are. The Emperor, the evil Emperor, isn't the evil Emperor yet. You're just supposed to assume he's going to be for the story itself. So that's reason number one, good versus evil in its purest form. They wrote it so well. It's so easy a child could understand. Darth Vader is bad, Luke Skywalker is good. Easy peasy, okay? Number two.
So you like them because it's easy for you to understand.
Yes, I'm a simpleton.
Okay.
Yes. No, I just think we, and I'm going to get to this in a later point just down the road, but
okay.
they didn't muddy the waters by trying to be too clever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Number two, epic plot twists. Okay. Now, we are young enough to have grown up knowing that Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's dad. But if you're sitting
Spoiler alert. Gee whiz, Dave.
Dave, I didn't know
just
that.
Throw it right out there.
I'm about to say, if you're listening to this podcast and you have a genuine interest in Star Wars, you know this for a fact. Okay.
The heck is wrong with
but
you?
For the generation that saw the movie's original releases, and they're watching through Empire Strikes Back, and he says, "No, I am your father." Could you imagine what a mind... Because there is no clue whatsoever that Darth Vader is anything other than this evil... Not overlord, because he's under the Emperor, but this evil guy. Okay, that's an epic plot twist.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have that in any of the other movies. The prequels, you know what's going to happen because you've already seen the other movies.
What about that surprise in... Was it episode 2? When they made, or 3.
Are you about to say something facetious?
When they made Jar Jar in charge of whatever it was. I forgot what position he got.
He was a senator.
They made him a senator? Whoa.
Let me talk about a wow moment. So let me jump forward to point number 6.
There's no Jar Jar.
Oh, gosh.
No Jar Jar Binks. Okay? The closest you have to Jar Jar Binks is the Ewoks. Okay? And the Ewoks are, for the most part, my wife excluded, not liked.
The Ewoks are awesome.
What?
But if you were to say, choose Ewoks or Jar Jar Binks, there is nobody, barring maybe a French person.
Comparing the Ewoks to Jar Jar Binks is like comparing, I don't know, Avengers to Teletubbies.
That's my point. The Ewoks, however, are the closest.
No, I agree.
Absolute nonsense.
But I love
the Ewoks.
I love the Ewoks.
Yeah, okay, fine. You love the Ewoks. That's great. I don't know who loves Jar Jar Binks. And if they do, they really need to go and see a medical
Sadly, there are people out there.
There are people out there. But that's my point number 6. There's no Jar Jar Binks in the original movie.
Okay, so I can't... Right. I'm going to say right now, your point number 6 is completely uncontested. I agree completely.
Excellent. I'm glad. All right. Do you want to contest these as I'm going along, or are you just going to come with
massive
rebuttal?
No, I'm writing my own notes.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm with you so far.
Epic plot twist. Obi-Wan Kenobi dies in the first movie. They set him up.
Oh, you're still into.
Going back to the epic plot twist. They build, Luke Skywalker has to find Ben Kenobi, finds out that he's a Jedi, this legendary Jedi, and then goes out into space for the first time in his life away from family to be trained and mentored by this legendary Obi-Wan Kenobi, only for him to die in the first movie. That's a huge plot twist again.
Mm-hmm.
All right, number 3, the music. This could be contentious, all right? John Williams has stayed on board for all the movies, but I would argue...
Except for Rogue One and Solo.
Yeah, well, they're standard.
All the episodes.
The episodes. I would argue his best work was in the first 3 movies. I don't think there's the original Star Wars theme and the March of the Empire... Those are iconic. There's nothing iconic about the music. Good scores for the movies, but nothing iconic. Dun, 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 dun. You immediately know what that is for.
Definitely,
you know what that's for.
Definitely the most recognizable out of all the movies.
I would say genius. Because you recognize it. Like, there are certain theme tunes that just off the top of my head, Batman. I say this because I was having a conversation earlier today, and we're going to have yet another Batman coming up. So we've now got like 600 people who play Batman.
Right.
Batman. Okay, everybody knows that one.
Oh, I thought you meant 89.
And what about the theme for the Chris Nolan Batmans?
Dun, dun, dun.
All right. Yeah. but if someone played it, you'd be like Batman. You play the music for Justice League, you're like, I'm sorry, what was that again?
Huh?
I can't even think of what it is off the top of my head.
Not off the top of my
head. You know
what
I mean?
No.
There are certain scores that become
Avengers.
Iconic. Oh my goodness, that's so
recognizable.
You know, and it's heroic. That's good.
Yeah.
Let's stop for a moment. Just.
Yeah.
That was good. All right. So the music. I would argue that John Williams did his best music in the franchise for these on those three. Mm-hmm. Number four. Mm-hmm. Story over visuals.
Yes.
Okay. So the original ones had puppets, not CGI. And it was gritty. And we're going back into the 70s and the early 80s for the original ones. And that's okay. They've aged over time. But, I mean, puppets don't look any worse today than they did 30-something years ago.
Yeah.
Whereas CGI, you can watch something that was epic CGI now, and in 10 years' time, you're like, wow, that looks awful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, take Phantom Menace, where all the CGI metal looked like chrome because they didn't know how to do any texture.
I remember when that was coming, when everybody was waiting for episode one, and we were so excited to see Star Wars with CGI, this new computer. It was exciting.
And at the time it was good, but now you look and you go, man, I mean, it looks bad. Whereas the puppetry looks exactly the same because nobody uses puppets anymore. Although I will say the one shining light of The Last Jedi, and this is the only props I'm going to give that movie at all, they used a puppet for Yoda, not CGI. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So, and with the limitations of technology back then, they had to rely much more on the story and the acting rather than the visual effects. So I think that's a huge thing.
Yeah.
Number five, the original movies weren't, they may have been slightly, but they weren't overly politically influenced. Disney has got this god-awful habit of allowing politics to influence their movies.
I argue and that you've seen that happen in the Avengers movies, the Marvel movies.
I'm not arguing that. I'm arguing old Star Wars.
I was reinforcing your point.
You should do. You should say, David, you are absolutely right.
That went completely opposite of what I thought it was going to do.
I know that
wow,
train
go back to your Star
derailed
Wars
fast.
I was agreeing with you.
I'm sorry.
Disney bought Marvel.
Oh,
and
they
ever
did?
Since,
oh, there you
the
go.
Marvel
yeah.
movies have
yeah.
been putting more and more.
In fact, do they buy just the cinematic Marvel or the comics as well?
Both.
Okay, because I was talking to a dude who owns a comic book store. Uh-huh. I've known him for over a decade. And I just asked him how business was going. And he said, it's okay. I'm like, okay, well, tell me about it. You know, kind of hurting for money. Apparently, the whole political thing in the Marvel comics has got so bad that as far as his books go, I don't know if this is industry-wide, but as far as his business is concerned, he's lost 2/3 of the business that came in through selling Marvel comics. People are just done with it. They're fed up. So anyway, so back to my point, and I apologize, Brian. I didn't get where you were going with that, but the original three movies weren't politically influenced. They weren't shoving their agenda down your throat, which they do with the new movies.
The prequels did as well.
Yes, the prequels did as well. Yeah. Number six, no Jar Jar Binks. I don't even have any sub points to that. That's obvious.
I don't think anyone needs to argue that at all.
And then number seven, and this is probably the most contestable. I don't think it is. Number seven, the characters themselves, both good and bad, were far better in the original movies than the new ones. Depth of emotion, their backgrounds, their interaction with the stories, even deaths were more meaningful. You know, Obi-Wan Kenobi died, you cared. Yoda died, you cared. Darth Vader died, you cared. You know,
the younglings didn't.
The younglings didn't, you know.
Didn't care?
Either they didn't care.
You know, big bad Snoke dies, and you're like, oh, well, that's a surprise. Because I thought there was going to be something. But you didn't
It's
give,
a subversion,
you
David.
You didn't give two hoots of nonsense, though. That's what I'm pointing, you know. I mean, the love story between Leia and Han.
SpongeBob means
subversion. the love story between Leia and Han was really well done. The love story between Padme and Anakin was creepy at best.
Yeah.
Because he was a child. And
she was
she
a grown
was
adult.
A grown woman. It was, yeah. And the acting. Let's not... Hayden Christensen. Let's not even talk about the actors. So those are my 7 points as to why the original movies were better than the new ones.
Very good.
Okay. Very interesting.
Mr. Bond.
That was a very solid case.
So I will say that I cannot contest either your number four or number six.
Story over visuals and Jar Jar Binks.
Correct.
Okay.
Actually, I can't contest seven either. Characters are far better in the original trilogy, and were written better. Were acted better.
Someone gave me a challenge once when we were talking about it, and I had agreed to agree with him already. But he was take the original. I'm going to say a character name to you, and I want you to tell me about them without using their name or their occupation.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to describe what they look like, but describe the character. And you're like Han Solo. How would you describe Han Solo?
Oh, smuggler. Rogue.
No, without saying what he does.
Oh,
or
roguish.
What he looks like. Okay, he's roguish.
He does his own thing.
Does his own thing.
Is that what roguish means?
Sure, kind of.
Has a big hairy friend. flies a ship.
Okay.
He's a gunslinger. He's loyal. Kind of a cowboy.
Loyal
to nobody but himself.
Ooh.
At first,
and yet he is.
Yeah,
he is. Okay.
At first,
how would you describe Darth Vader?
Big. Brooding, dark presence,
asthma,
powerful, black,
single-minded,
okay. Conflicted.
How would you describe Padme?
Female.
We'll give you a minute on this one.
She is young. And female. Royalty.
But this is the point that the guy was making. It's like, these are the characters.
Yeah.
You know, and you can keep rattling off characters. I mean, apart from stupid, what else do you say about Jar Jar Binks? Anyway.
Racist.
Misa Nosa.
Yeah. I mean, he's not, but people look at him as, even though George is not a racist.
Who's he racist against? Frogs?
Jar Jar is a clear, like, parallel to the old, like, blackface of the early 1900s.
Like,
you can tell in his mannerisms that's exactly what it parallels.
Really?
Not even to mention that the Nemoidians, like Newt Gunray and his guys, are all Asian stereotypes. I can't even remember a line of dialogue they say, and I saw the movie just a couple of weeks ago. Also, Watto is very much a Jewish and Arab stereotype. So, yeah.
Hmm.
Take it as it is.
Okay.
Oh, I got a point number eight for you. The original trilogy, not racist.
There you go.
I'm gonna clump that under the political thing.
I think actually George was out those days that they shot those scenes, and they brought in a young filmmaker. What was his name? I think it was Michael Bay. I think they brought him in to shoot those scenes.
The explosion scenes?
No, I meant the racist scenes. Nah, but, I know. You know. Anyways.
No, they did have Michael Bay on the original
Star
New
Wars?
Hope movie. Yeah, it's the bit where the Death Star
blows. The Star Wars.
But it was a spectacular explosion, wasn't it?
That wasn't a model. They actually did that in space, life size, because that's the only way Michael Bay would work.
That's the only way you could do it. Yeah.
You know I'm lying, because there was no lens flare in that scene.
Yeah, true. And it didn't have like five different aspect ratios. we'll get to that someday.
I'm looking forward
to
it.
Your point five, I also really can't contest. Like I said, I even supported it. The prequels started all of the political
garbage.
Well, I was gonna say under the surface. What is that word? Subliminalism. Yes, thank you. And then the newer trilogy kind of made it very overt. So. 5, 7, 4, and 6 can't contest it at all. So
it's 1, 2, and 3.
So the music. Well, I do agree with you, like I said, that the music in the original trilogy is more recognizable right off the top. There are quite a few themes that from the new trilogy that for me really do stick with me. I really enjoy Kylo's theme. I think it's got an edge to it.
Like his and Rey's. Huh? I like them, but Rey's
theme
as Rey's well.
And Rey's too, yeah.
All I can hear about it is on piano.
I mean, but if we're talking about the prequels, I mean, my goodness, Duel of the Fates is one of the best music put to film.
I don't agree with that one.
Why not?
I'm more with Dave on the as far as
I'm not talking about the scene. I'm talking about the music.
I know, but even the music, I don't know. It's more just exciting in its. I don't know. I've just never agreed when because I've heard people say that a lot, and I don't agree with that one. I don't think it's that great of a piece. I feel like it's more generic compared to his other pieces in the Star Wars universe.
Okay, well, going off that point, what would you say about Battle of the Heroes?
I don't know that
Anakin
one.
And Obi-Wan's duel, because that's another piece that I feel is.
I'd have to hear it. I don't
very
know.
Impressive.
To be honest, I've kind of blanked that out because the whole scene sucked so bad. I'm sorry, the whole set. I have the high ground. It's over, Anakin. I just considering the duel in New Hope was the coming back together of those two. Mm-hmm. New Hope, you had simplistic fighting, if you will, very kendo based. I agree with. It should be because that's how proper sword fighting would be.
So personally, you prefer the static, dueling.
No. I love really well choreographed. I mean, I grew up watching John Woo movies, so well choreographed fighting scene, whether it be guns, swords, whatever. I love kung fu movies.
But you don't like the fighting styles in the prequels.
What's a gun sword?
Guns or swords. Guns or swords.
Gun
or
sword
fists,
is in Final Fantasy.
Unless you want to talk about Equilibrium with a gun cutter.
Yeah, gun cutter.
Bad
yeah.
movie.
Yeah. Fun movie.
Oh no, we yes. don't agree on anything yes. when it comes to movies. But no, what I'm saying, the whole setup was messy and over the top and relies on visuals rather than storytelling. Mm-hmm. Even though you hadn't seen the build up because we didn't have the prequels yet when the original movie came out, there was so much drama. In the meeting, what introduction did we get? We meet again, old man. You know? Now yeah. I am the master. And yet you... Instant drama.
Right.
There was feeling and there was passion and there was emotion behind it. And even with, you know, Mark Hamill's terrible acting skills, you still cared for Luke that he lost
this
mentor.
Well, and also we knew that they had that previous history because of Obi-Wan... telling
right.
Luke
that
at the beginning of the movie that they had been friends, and then Darth Vader...
had killed his friend.
Exactly.
But we didn't know and the extent father. Of it.
Yeah.
You know, the prequels give us the extent of it, and yet still, even with all that build-up,
yeah.
that final fight in the lava fields thing, I was just like, meh. Whereas in New Hope, you care, even without the full context of it.
No, I mean,
And so I don't even remember what the music sounds like. I just remember just being really underwhelmed by the final movement of these three prequel movies that were awful.
I think that the fight was well choreographed and well done.
It was also what?
Not in context.
An hour and a half long?
No, it was like 15 minutes.
It's too much. It's too long.
But I would say you both should listen to the piece again. Not watch the scene, but you should at least listen to the piece to see if maybe after all this time you may have some
isn't the purpose of the music to add to the drama of the scene?
If I can't even
remember the scene because I don't think it was that well, then surely the music on its own is not going to do it. It's not going to capture it. Every time I hear the Imperial March, I just see Darth Vader walking down the ramp of his ship, you know, in Return of the Jedi, where he's flanked by all of the army. I see that, and it's so the Imperial March is the perfectly named song for the piece of music for a piece of music that goes with him marching down the runway. You just think of Darth Vader striding purposefully and menacingly. It's just a perfectly done piece of music specifically for that character. And I just don't think the same could be said with.
Yeah, for me, it's just really all of John Williams' music puts me into that mood. It doesn't matter. When I'm just listening to the music, the context of the scene it's in. Because I can still enjoy it, because for me at least, it's amazing, fantastic pieces that he's put together. So we can agree to disagree, I guess.
It wouldn't be the first time.
And Brandon, we're still friends.
I don't know. I got a bunch of thoughts.
Just agree with me. It'll be fine.
I pretty much agree with you on everything, but no, I'm somewhere in between you two. Cause like, on the one hand, while you're talking about the New Hope fight between Obi-Wan and Vader, while you were talking about that, I'm thinking about how what you were saying is exactly why I feel like we did not need the prequels. The original Star Wars movies were so good at having a universe that's already in existence. There's we jump right into the middle of the story, and we did not need an explanation of where these people came from and what their previous story was. It worked already, jumping right in where we jumped in A New Hope. And we did not need to go back and get the prequels. And but at the same time, there's also a part of me that appreciates them for what they are. And like, I, you know, talking about that, them fighting in the lava, I don't think I really have much problems with the scene. I just don't remember the music because it's, I don't know, I've never paid attention to it, I guess, and it's been a while. But so I'm somewhere in between you two, I think, as far as all that.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, I don't feel that the prequels are needed. I just feel that, you know, it was good to tell that story. I just wish that they had told it better. So yeah, so music. epic plot twists. I don't agree with you that the original trilogy had as good epic plot twists as the new trilogy does. Because subversion is such a key element to these movies, and I can't keep talking about this. This is... no. Subversion is the death of good writing. I'm just going to say it right now. I am sick and tired of these movies and TV shows, and I've seen it done to death now in the past 3 or 4 years, of these movies subverting our expectations. I am tired of things subverting my expectations. I want to have good storytelling, and I want to... I don't know. At this point, I just want stuff to happen the way it should happen. I don't care if it's cliche.
They're trying to be too clever.
Exactly.
Or it could just be that Rian Johnson took a big steeping dump.
Here's the thing.
Over everything.
Subversion can just be done well. Saying. I've seen it done so well in plenty of entertainment. you know, but it just, it's...
From the Usual Suspects, perfect case in point.
I've already told you that.
The Dinobots in Age of Extinction.
Well, we'll get to you one day.
what?
But I have no idea. But yeah, no, no. So yeah, I support your claim with two.
You tried not to, but you just couldn't.
No, I was making a total joke.
Nice.
I was making a total joke. So finally, black and white characters. I do agree for the most part. I feel that the original trilogy was very point for point with its characters. You could tell who were the good guys and who were the bad guys. The way that the new trilogy starts with the Force Awakens, I think it's also pretty easy to tell who your good guys and bad guys are, because they rip it off of New Hope.
Well, but I'm thinking specifically like Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
You're left wondering, he's a bad guy.
He's supposed to be.
He's supposed to have that Darth Vader thing. I mean, all the way through, they're like, you know, Father, give me the strength to do what I must do. You know, and he's got that internal struggle right from the bat.
Where's the helmet?
You didn't get that until the third movie in the third one with Darth Vader, and then it's a surprise. You're like, oh, he's actually struggling with this. Whereas Kylo Ren, you're like, is he going to be a bad guy or is he going to be a good guy? And then he removes his helmet and shows, I mean, Adam Driver, good actor, I'm sure, but he shows his big ears.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're like, wow, you're not in the slightest bit terrifying.
Intimidating.
You've taken away all the mystery. Mm-hmm. You've already laid your hand down that he's a conflicted character. There's no development there at all.
I think that was the point of it, was to show that he's trying so hard. Like, he's basically a Vader fanboy. Like, he's like, I am going to do what he could not do, and I'm going to be that intimidating, you know, evil figure.
So with the two movies that have come out, okay, ignore the trailer for the third one with the Emperor's laugh and what might come of that. Okay? Who is the bad guy in the first two movies? Can't be Snoke, because he was just killed as a nothingness. So that's a subversion.
I think it's Kylo.
Can't be Kylo Ren, because he's a conflicted, is he good or is he bad guy? So who is the bad guy in it?
Hux.
You know, that's the whole point. It's that the clarity between good and bad. You know who's good and bad.
The bad guy is Luke Skywalker. That's what they want you to believe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He doesn't believe any of it.
I'm kind of with you, but not fully. I see what you're saying, but I think after episode 9, I will decide if I fully agree with you or not. Once we see the end of the story and what
they
were...
To see if JJ can save this train wreck.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, our good guys, like, none of them have moments where it could be said that they were morally gray. They're pretty much white the whole time. Rey's the daggum beacon of hope. She has no flaws whatsoever.
Which makes her dull and dreary.
Yeah. I mean, but Luke's, she's pretty.
Luke's, yeah, she is very pretty. We won't take that away from Daisy Ridley. She's very, very beautiful. But I don't care if she's very beautiful. Really, I have a wonderful wife who is equally as beautiful. So
even
I don't care.
Like an okay actress, I guess.
But
I think she's one of the best in the new ones.
In the big three, in the original movies, you've got Luke Skywalker, who's a child.
Sorry.
He's unsure of himself. He doesn't know what he's... Luke.
No, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Rey.
No, he's unsure of himself. He has to learn everything. And he makes lots of mistakes and lots of bad choices.
Yeah.
Han Solo has always struggles with this selfishness of his. Mm-hmm. You know, he wants to do what's right, even though he tries not to because he's got to protect himself and his delicate little heart.
Yeah.
You've got Princess Leia who has always had to be strong, and so she's got this chip on her shoulder that she's got to learn to trust other people.
Mm-hmm.
These are compelling characters. Flawed characters are compelling characters. Meanwhile, on the new side of things, you've got whatever her name is, Raymond.
Ray.
You've got Raymond, who can't do anything wrong, who is one of the most powerful force users without ever having to do anything whatsoever.
Everybody loves Ray.
Yeah, everyone loves Raymond. You know, and then you've got.
Are you going to get all their names wrong?
Probably.
Let's do it.
The flying dude.
The flying dude?
Poe.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, you always say Poe.
Poe Dameron.
Okay, so you've got one of the that would have been funny if I could remember what they were called.
Ninja
Dipsy,
Turtles.
Dipsy, Lalo, and Poe.
Oh, Teletubbies.
Yeah, you got one of the Teletubby guys, all right? Who they're obviously trying to do a Han Solo thing with.
I don't like him.
I think he's like a mixture of Luke and Han.
Yeah, again, his biggest conflict is whether or not he wants...
For leadership.
He's a super talented fly boy ace in the first movie, and in the second movie he wants to run away.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Well, he didn't want to run away.
Run away?
That didn't sound right. He didn't want to run.
Oh, no, that was Finn, wasn't it?
That was Finn doing
running. That's right.
Yeah,
what
but
was he doing?
He was trying to save the ship that was in hyperspace or something.
That's right. Because they felt the need to keep a secret from everybody with this.
And Ellie Sadler from Jurassic Park kept telling him that, no, I'm not going to tell you my plan.
Yeah, you
just
have
to trust me.
And we're supposed to
I know
to
you're reckless.
We're supposed to assume that this high-ranking general isn't known by everybody. What is the is the Rebel Alliance so big now that
loves
nobody
her
doesn't know
ball
anybody?
Gown dresses?
It's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous.
We should have a full episode on The Last Jedi. I would absolutely love that.
We should do a full episode on the Last Jedi versus the Phantom Menace in a titanic battle of CAC.
But you'd have to watch them both to get research.
For the listeners
I know. I'm more upset about The Last Jedi than the Phantom Menace.
Well, yeah, because the Phantom Menace is just boring.
Yeah, the Phantom Menace is just bad.
Because I was very excited about I really liked Force Awakens. It's got problems, but I really like it. I was so looking forward to The Last Jedi, and I walked out of that theater so disappointed. Phantom Menace, kind of the same thing, but
I'm a revisionist.
I don't know. It took me longer for me to rewatch Phantom Menace and go, man, this movie really kind of sucks. Jedi ticked me off right from the beginning because this is a whole new world of Star Wars movies that are supposed to be wonderful, and it just made me
I remember going to the movie theater when The Phantom Menace came out, and and everyone was like, we're getting new Star Wars. And then by the end, every single person, without fail, left the movie theater going, what the heck have they done with my child?
It's heck.
Sorry.
This is a G-rated podcast.
Yeah. Scolding me.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's okay. But we were thinking, what the heck was that all about? I've just wasted my life. And I went into... I've been burned so many times with expectations that I went in watching The Last Jedi. Like, okay, the first movie was not bad. I didn't particularly care for any of the characters. And I dislike J.J. Abrams' direction. So this Rian Johnson guy can't be bad, right? This might be good. And then I walked out of the theater like, oh my goodness! I feel like I've just been done over in an alleyway. This was awful.
Wow. I was so confused. I'm walking out of the theater and I went, was that bad? Is there something wrong with me? Or was that a bad movie? Am I disappointed in a bad Star Wars?
I've come out of the movie theater a number of times recently feeling that
Like I said, I'm a revisionist Last Jedi supporter because when I saw it that for the first time, I really enjoyed it. Like, I didn't like... It wasn't like over the moon like some of the other movies I had been, but like I was like, that was really good. I really enjoyed that. And then after about a year, like I watched it again and I was like, okay, it's I can definitely see some problems. And then watching, multiple critics' analysis of it, I was like, oh my goodness. What was I thinking?
Yeah, and I strongly, strongly disagree when people are like, all you Star Wars fans are just mad at The Last Jedi because it wasn't what you were expecting. No, I watched it a second time with like every intention of trying to enjoy this movie. And just as a movie, it's not good.
I know you guys aren't in the hemisphere of this fandom, but the same thing happened this year with the Game of Thrones finale. The last four episodes were awful because the writers had to wrap up the whole season because they want to jump on Star Wars.
Yeah, they rushed
it.
What
and
do you
they
mean they
want to
jump on
awful.
Star Wars?
Yeah, the D.B. Weiss and David Benioff, they're going to be producing the Old Republic movie that's coming out in 3 or 4 years.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So, yeah, that came out last week, I think, that news. So, yeah. But anyways.
Wow. That seems kind of messed up.
Yeah, it is. So
Almost
anyways.
As messed up as The Last Jedi.
It was pretty bad. I'm just going to say that. Okay. So we kind of went through David's whole thing and
yeah, sorry about
disagreed
that,
and agreed. No,
and that's the end of the episode.
Yeah, Dave just talked for the entire episode.
No, but that was really
we don't have time first.
It was good though. That was a fun.
No, of course we have time. There's
all
always
right,
time
so
for Brando.
We are on Facebook and Twitter, and we hope to see you next time.
Never mind.
This is though a good place to stop. So we'll pick it up next time in part two, but seriously, we want to thank all of you for listening, and we really hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you did, we'd love it if you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. You can also find us on Twitter at The Film Twits and on Facebook at The Film Twits Podcast. Please give us a like and a follow, and seriously, if you have any comments or suggestions, please reach out. Look for part two of our Star Wars discussion, where we finally will get around to our favorite moments, coming soon. Talk to you later.
The end. Ba-dum-bum.